This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to another hour of Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. It is Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester, Max Power producing. He's got your calls at 869-1240. He's got your video comments on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. We are glad to be here with you live. Tim Fitzgerald will join us later in this program to talk a little K-State. I'm curious to get his take on the new Serbian coming in to K-State basketball. Feels significant to me. What is he hearing? What's his Go Power Cat crew hearing? We'll have all that for you later in this hour. We can touch a little more on the Royals. We can touch a little more on the NBA playoffs. I want to ask Tommy about Aaron Judge and what he has been doing. And are we appropriately appreciating that? Because it's some of the best baseball we've ever seen, quite frankly. And I wonder, you know, I wonder if it's getting the attention it probably should. We'll talk about that a little bit. Max is firing up hockey bets for us. We got all kinds of fun stuff. Day baseball for the Royals. If you want to get in touch with the program and you are listening to us on the Odyssey app, you can do that as well. Just click that little microphone button. Real quick, let's give away some HTO. All you got to do is text the keyword TEA to 20357. That will get you a free iced tea from either East or West Wichita or down in Derby. You can do that right now. Text that keyword T to 20357. More than 26 flavors to choose from. Go inside. You can try them all for free. Here we go, Tommy. Into this hour, have you seen some of this? Because I have. People are taking the Aaron Judge numbers over the, you know, over the past basically 162 or whatever it is. This dude's batting .427 right now. Leads the big league in home runs. He's got 32 RBIs, which leads the league. His OPS leads the league. After what he did a year ago, which was basically block one of the best seasons we've ever seen from Bobby Witt Jr. from winning an MVP, rightfully so, with his 58 home runs and 140 RBIs. He already has the home run record. Like, do we pay enough attention to the kind of heater he's on? Because it's essentially like prime Barry Bonds stuff. And when it was prime Barry Bonds stuff, like, he was the biggest thing in sports. I don't know if that's a shift away from baseball. I don't know if it's because Shohei Ohtani has recalibrated our brains for what the standard of the best baseball player is. Whatever it is, though, I do kind of subscribe to the fact that we're not giving Judge enough run. I mean, he's been unflipping believable.
Yeah, I mean, he's been amazing. I think part of it, if you'll remember back to a year ago, everybody remembers where he ended the year home run wise. I think people forget about the fact he had a pretty slow start to the season last year, at least through the first month of the year. April was not good for Aaron Judge. And then he turned it on, and he turned it on phenomenally since then. In fact, the last calendar year, if you take all of his season last year minus April, and then you add in this April, the last calendar year for Aaron Judge has been insane. Like, we're talking about a slash line and an OPS that is like through the absolute roof. And we're talking about, like, if you look at batting average, on base percentage, slugging percentage, like all of the key metrics. I mean, he's lapping his contemporaries, including Bobby Witt Jr., Shohei Ohtani, Juan Soto. But I think that part of it is that he's been thought of as just this like power guy, the guy that's going to hit a bunch of home runs. He's doing a lot more than that. He's getting on base. He's able to drive in runs. He's got his wins above replacement is fantastic also. And it's ahead of the next best guy is Bobby Witt Jr. And it's not particularly close in war between Bobby Witt Jr. and Aaron Judge. So what Judge has been able to do as a complete player, not just a guy who's going to be a power hitter and hit a bunch of home runs, but not hit for average, not get on base, not drive in runs, not score runs, not all of that. I mean, like he's become, you know, completely like this full player. And it's on display all the time. So I do think we have to appreciate all of that, because if you're just looking at him through the lens of, yeah, he's a power guy and he's going to hit a bunch of home runs, that's not fully appreciating everything Aaron Judge can do.
And I want to say this too, like if you take away the years where Bonds is accused of breaking the rules, Judge has been better than any of those seasons. Right, like the seasons where Bonds was better, and it's honestly, it's only like slightly better by war, by some of these metrics. Those are the years in question for Bonds. And so, like, is there a world, and I guess that, because I love doing this sometimes, like Shohei Ohtani, because of the two-way ability, best player, I get it, like great, because he impacts the game in both of those ways. But is there a world where Aaron Judge in these seasons is the best hitter we've ever seen? Like, are these the best offensive seasons we've ever seen?
They're up there. They're among them.
I think they have to. If you take away the steroid era years for some of these guys, I think it's better than anything we've ever seen.
100%. I mean, again, his individual stats and the way that he has been kind of turned into this complete player, I would agree with that. And, you know, I go back to what has been the knock on Aaron Judge all along is that he doesn't show up for the playoffs. And,
that's a different conversation.
Well, it is a different conversation, but I think part of the reason, I mean, your original question was, are we giving Aaron Judge enough credit? Is he getting enough run for what he's been able to produce? And I think it's hard for some people, especially in the New York media market, you know, to not connect those two things together and not give him the credit that he deserves for his individual success and the stat lines that he produces and all of that, because there's not a World Series ring to show for it. Right. So like he's been putting up these insane numbers. And like I go back to, like you mentioned Barry Bonds, you know, Barry Bonds was putting up insane numbers, again, clouded by steroids now and all of that. But putting up these insane individual numbers, he didn't have a World Series ring to show for it, you know, during that time as well. So, you know, I think if you want to compare it to that, it's kind of similar in that regard, too. But Yankees fans, I think they appreciate him as like this, you know, rock solid, like producing offensive threat all the time for sure. But I think they have a hard time separating that. And I don't blame them. They have a hard time separating that from the fact that when it's mattered the most, he hasn't shown up. He hasn't been able, you know, to get it done and get it across the finish line.
Right. And, you know, That's okay. That's fair. Like, I totally am fine. I mean, they have developed that standard. I have no issue with that. I just, like, I think we may be, like, and these, I'm not talking about career, by the way. Like, Judge isn't over his career the best hitter we've ever seen. It took him too long to get started for him to even sniff that. But these individual seasons are some of the best we've ever seen. If you go back, like, A, even before Bonds was accused of dabbling into the things that were happening in baseball, like, if you go back and just, like, that dude was absurd. He had three MVPs, Tommy, before those conversations ever even started, and, like, six gold gloves or more than that. He had, like, nine gold gloves. Like, it's just crazy what Barry Bonds was even before all of that. And, like, in all of those seasons, offensively, Judge has been a little better. Now, he's not the kind of defender Barry Bonds was back in those days or anything like that, but I don't know who else to compare it to offensively. I mean, maybe Shohei. I mean, it doesn't help Judge that Shohei is right there, and Shohei offensively is also really, really, really good and does the things with, you know, base running and all the things that he does a little bit differently. But I just I want to take a second, because we never talk about him, or at least I don't, and appreciate just how good he's been. And I hope people, you mentioned slow starts. He is not off to a slow start this year. Like, he is on fire. What does that mean? I don't know. And
so I do think, and this is kind of talking about, you know, the contemporaries around both Aaron Judge and Barry Bonds, you know, during the same kind of span when Bonds was doing this. Go back to the year, let's see, when was this? 2001, I believe. It was the year that Barry Bonds hit the 73 home runs. So Barry Bonds had a higher OPS. The next best was Sammy Sosa, and he was outpacing Sammy Sosa by 205 points over the course of that year. That was the next closest from 1 to 2, 205. So in the last year, Aaron Judge has out-OPSed Shohei Ohtani by 229 points over the last calendar year. So Aaron Judge is outpacing the rest of the league, even more so than Bonds did in 2001 when Bonds hit 73 home runs.
So Judge right now, I'm trying to extrapolate his numbers over a career. Over a season, and I just can't get it done fast enough here for the radio. But it just, I don't like the Yankees at all, but I am enjoying watching Aaron Judge do his thing. He's become such a good player, and I like Aaron Judge. I think he's a likable player too. But that's happening. Like, if you haven't been paying attention, dude's hitting 427. We're a month into the season. 427. If that continues, I mean, we could be flirting with another home run chase. He's protected in that lineup. Like, there's all these things that are going to be good for him to you know, chase a little history this year. It's worth paying attention to.
May have been a good thing for him, for Juan Soto, to not be on the team anymore. I mean, like, to,
that's not a bad, you know, that's an interesting idea. Anywho, we'll come back. More Sports Daily. Tim Fitzgerald later this hour. Don't go away.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster, Max Power producing. And we are having some fun here on a Thursday. Tim Fitzgerald joins in just a little bit. Let's talk a little football, Tommy. We have not yet done that today. A couple of headlines that we haven't hit on are this Falcons coach's son who's gotten his dad fined for like $100,000, and it's Ulbrich's kid. And it's funny, like the fines that are, and I get it. Jeff Ulbrich's kid is the one who made the prank call to Shedeur Sanders. I get why they got to come down hard on it, man. But sometimes when the NFL comes hard on some things and not on others, you're like, really? Prank call, but I get it. At the same time, like, you can't have people messing with like private information of players. Like, I get it, but the NFL, there's nobody that's going to win here. Like, the NFL's not, because it's got to come down hard, and then it looks a little silly to come down that hard. And then I think all the jokes are appropriate. I think that's about how you handle this. Like, ooh, cost your dad $100,000. Like, what's the equivalent for the rest of us?
Yeah, will that kid have to work it off, you know, forever? Like, are you going to have him go mow yards, you know, and all the money goes back to the dad? All jokes aside, it is unfortunate. I feel bad for Shedeur that, you know, that happened.
Like, the kid that made the prank call.
Yeah,
too.
It was a stupid decision, and we've all done really stupid things at that age. I feel obviously bad for Jeff Ulbrich, you know, that he's caught up in all of that. And by the way, he just started this job with the Falcons. I mean, he had a pretty tumultuous time as the interim head coach for the Jets and Aaron Rodgers and all of that taking over for Robert Saleh. And then it's like, okay, good, I'm done with that drama. I'm out of New York, and I don't have to worry about the Aaron Rodgers saga and all of that anymore. He goes to Atlanta, and like, this happens to him, and he's brand new on the job.
That's one of your things. Like, I just like the equivalent. There probably isn't one. I can't think of one that impacts you professionally in that way. Like, the money part is one thing. Like, we're all getting there, right? I remember I had an old Suburban. And I was driving it like an idiot out on the country roads, and like a pretty scared, like I fishtailed, went through a bar ditch and ran it through a barbed wire fence. Yeah, there's a lot of elements here in play. A, that barbed wire fence wrapped around the top of the Suburban and just shredded it, like just totally destroyed the aesthetics of that vehicle. B, it just happened to be our barbed wire fence. So it was like, you know, like it was like, oh,
at least
man.
It was your barbed wire fence and not somebody else's.
I guess that's better, but it wasn't our land. You know, we had cattle on that land, so we had the fence. So like one of my brothers had to go fix it and I had to help him. But I remember when I got home, I'm just like, I can't believe I did that. Like I was driving too fast. I went like, it was a little scary, but then I'm like, I'm dead. Like not even figuratively, like I am dead. I look at this car. So we lived out in the country. So I drove it like a half mile down the road away from the house and parked it and came back to the house. And I just sat at the front window. So I would give myself a head start for when my dad got home. Like he drove by down to the barn where I took it. And I knew like, okay, he's going to see it now. I've got this runway for when he has to walk back to the house to like figure out what the hell I'm going to do right now.
You're giving yourself a head start to get out of there.
Yeah, I don't even remember what he said. I mean, at that point, and this is probably where, this is what makes me think of it. Like at that point, like, what do you even say? You know, like what are you going to say to your kid? Like, you don't need to punish him. Like that's going to take care of itself. Like, you're just like, well, you're a dumbass. Like, yeah. I don't know what else to tell you. Don't do it again, I guess. Like, you know, like
did that. And I'm guessing that remained your car. Like you still drove that Suburban.
Oh. Absolutely.
Even though it was shredded, you know, and like that just became like part of the car. Yeah.
Yeah. It drove just fine. It was mine for another little while. And I was young too, because I had a farmer's license. I was like 15 years old. But yeah, it stayed mine until the car actually stopped running very well. But like, what do you say? What do you say to your kid if you're Jeff Ulbrich? Like, what are you doing? Like, what, you don't have to even say anything. It's like a self-inflicted punishment. And sometimes those are the best. Like, men are stupid. Like for the handful of women that listen to this show, probably like we fully know it. We know it. We understand it. And dads understand it when it's their sons that, yeah, we're idiots. Like we really are. Like I joke with my wife and I'm like, listen, you can tell our daughters that that oven is hot and they will believe you. Our son's probably going to have to touch that oven to really believe that it's hot. You know, like that's where our brains are.
You just
like,
got to double check. You got to experience it for yourself. And think about think about the fact like, you know, this guy, you know, is the defensive coordinator for the Falcons. He's been an NFL assistant coach for a long time, been in the NFL. And he's got a kid who's in high school. He's got buddies that are also in high school. They know that he's connected to the NFL. I mean, can you imagine? I would just guess that there's been temptation, and I'm sure he's not the only one. I'm sure there are probably a lot of sons of coaches that are in high school that are like, man, your dad's an NFL coach. You think you could get Shador's phone number? And he's probably like, I don't know, maybe like probably trying to impress his buddies or whatever. Like,
try.
I could try. And then he did. And then this is what happens. And like, so. Like, I mean, you mentioned like men are idiots and it's true. Like I'm 39 and I consider myself an idiot. I was that much more of an idiot when I was 17, you know? And so it was a bad mistake. I'm glad that the kid owned up to it. I'm glad that he called Shador. I thought that his apology was exactly what it needed to be. The fine, I understand the NFL feels like they need to do something in this regard. I understand that. Otherwise, they look like, you know, they're lax on that sort of thing. And I get it that they have to fine and do something. But the punishment of, like, the embarrassment and then, like, apologizing and having to talk to Shador on the phone and, like, all of that, that's, in my opinion, punishment in and of itself.
It is. It's punishment enough because like, you'll live it. But, you know, let's be honest, like he gets to live with that street cred the rest of his life too. Like his buddies, like
you're the guy. You're the guy that got Shador's phone number. Yeah.
Yeah, he's good. He's gonna be good there. I think that it's a really interesting chapter of this Shador saga. It really is. Like it all goes hand in hand. This young person learned a lesson, Ulbrich's kid and everything. Yeah. Shador better have learned a lesson in all this too. And like now that we're, you know, I think now people are more prone because you've got this head scratching decision to have him fall that far. I think more people are in teams that like they're more prone to like attach themselves to some of this stuff now, whether they're doing it publicly or whether they're, doing it a little more privately, you're starting to hear now a pretty consistent message. Shadur approached this draft process just like Prime approached it a long time ago. Well, we're going to step in and like, there are teams I'm not going to let my son play for. Like that whole thing clearly translated right into the draft process for Shadur. And you hear things now, like he was asking teams like, why should I come play for you? Like this isn't college recruitment anymore, which is, you know, and to be fair, Shadur never had to go through that either with his dad being the coach. But
like, I mean, he's on record in a press conference or in an interview, you know, saying two teams, generally speaking, if you don't want somebody to come in and change things for you, then don't get me. Don't draft me. Like that's, he was like blatantly saying that. And I think that part of it, because we've seen athletes all the time that have been, you know, that they have made those declarations, things like that. I mean, famously, Eli Manning and Archie Manning said he wasn't going to play for the Chargers, you know, so don't draft him. Like those things have happened. John Elway did that, you know, also all the way back in the day. The difference is the talent transcended those comments. And I think that some of these teams have not, they didn't believe that Shadur's talent translated. It didn't transcend those. It didn't make those comments seem legitimate. It's like, okay, look, you're not good enough to be able, like, you might be a good caliber quarterback for us. Like, you might be somebody that can help us, but you're not a sure thing. You're not this, like, undisputed number one franchise changing Super Bowl winning quarterback. You might be, but the jury is still out on that. And so the brashness and the arrogance of like, don't take me, don't get me, I'm not, why should I go and play for you? You're not good enough to say that. I think that was resounding during the draft process.
Well, and so like, I think like maybe Eli Manning was that kind of a college player. Maybe he wasn't, I don't know, but like he wasn't the one saying it.
Archie,
somebody
was.
Else was saying Archie it for was. Him. Yes.
And John by the Elway, way, I Archie don't... also had, Archie had the benefit of having Peyton in the league right. a couple of years before. That's and Peyton right. was a superstar.
Shadur has a lot of questions to answer based on, you know, can he play for anybody besides his dad? What I think he answered in his time at Colorado, like when he came to I had no idea he was as good as he was. I just knew he was coach's kid, right? And he happened. And so when they brought him in at quarterback, I don't remember what I was saying here at the time. I was like, I don't know. Like, okay.
I mean, he was gift wrapped.
Like, holy crap, he's really good.
He was gift wrapped and handed the starting job at Colorado as soon as his dad walked in the door. I mean, famously, the cameras followed Dion, and within like 30 seconds, telling the Colorado team, many of them were not going to remain on the team, but like, right. Hey, everybody, this is your quarterback, you know, and Shadur comes in. Like, it was gift wrapped and handed to him on a silver platter. And while, you know, yeah, he delivered, he was able to deliver, you know, at Colorado and win games.
Big 12 offensive player.
Totally. Like, I'm not knocking that whatsoever. I think that there was the expectation that he was going to be gift wrapped and handed on a silver platter an NFL quarterback
That's
job
right.
as well.
Yeah. And that doesn't happen. Not through the circumstances, like all collectively. A, I agree. He's not that elite blue chip quarterback prospect where it's a no-brainer. But even then, there probably would have had to be some discussions. Like, I don't know that there have been a lot of guys that have come in personally and been that aggressive with their cockiness or whatever you want to call it, at that position anyway, which is the most important position. Like, I don't think teams care if your defensive tackle's coming in and having that conversation. Like, whatever, dude, just get in there. You know what I mean? Like it's a quarterback.
I think it was also a negative for Shadur when you compare and contrast him with the guy who did go number one overall, because Cam Ward, more so than anybody else, is like, put your head down and just go to work and not getting involved in all that drama. And so, you know, Shadur's circus and the antics around him and Coach Prime and all of that definitely was highlighted and illuminated when you contrast him to the other top quarterback in the draft, who is very much not that way. Had Cam Ward not been in the class, then you wouldn't have anything to compare it to necessarily. And it would have been like, this is your guy. And it wouldn't be like so blatant and in your face how brash and arrogant Shadur is.
And their paths are both so similar and so different. Like, their on-the-field paths are very similar. Their off-the-field paths are very different, right? Cam Ward won scholarship offer, worked his way up from Incarnate Word, went to Washington State, had the big profile, the big platform at Miami. Shadur started at Jackson State. Now, he didn't, I think he did earn it by the time he actually played, but he didn't earn it in the door, right? He earned it out of the door, but not in the door, if that makes any sense. Like, he absolutely was a great college football player, and I loved him as a college football player. I thought he was, I mean, you know that. I think he's a good prospect. I think his toughness and all that was on display just about every week. But that was, you know, it was handed to him. And when you've had things handed to you for a while, when somebody says, hey, buddy, it doesn't work that way, you've got two choices. And now he has two choices. He can either feel sorry for himself that he got prank called and embarrassed at the draft and reevaluate the way that he's going to approach this. He can be as arrogant as he wants, but not to the detriment of a team. Or he can make an adjustment and say, whoa, like that obviously doesn't work here. Let me go out like I eventually did at Colorado and show everybody that I'm good enough to be here. So he's got an easy choice to make. There's a fork in the road for him. Like, go do exactly what you did at Colorado. Everybody said, oh, he's just got the job because his dad's the coach. Okay, maybe that's the case. But by the time he walked out of the door there, he was a Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year. They got a lot better, and he did not have much around him. So go do it again. Well, you're going to an organization that doesn't have a lot around you. You've got an open position. Go earn it. I mean, he's got his fork in the road right now.
On that note, too, I think the most unfortunate thing for Shadur, and, you know, I think some of it is, a lot of it is the circumstances and who his dad is and all of that. But the most unfortunate thing is that we're not talking about a guy that is not a good quarterback. He is a good quarterback. And I'm not as high on him as you are. Right. But I'm not going to discount the fact that, I mean, he's a good, solid quarterback. He was the Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year. It is, you know, between him and his dad, like, they did turn Colorado into a much more relevant program. They were right outside of the CFP last year. Like, so, like, those things are undisputed. Like, those are facts. The bad thing about it is, because of the circus and all of that, you forget about the fact that he's a good, solid quarterback. And because of everything else around him, you end up viewing him negatively. You know, I've seen people calling him a Nepo baby, and it's all about, like, because he's with his dad, and, like, that's the only reason. I don't think that's true. He's got talent. The guy has talent, but you forget about that, and all you think about is the hype and the arrogance and the brashness and the circus and all the things that are unnecessary. And then when you take a look at collectively, holistically, his game, while good, is not good enough, in my opinion, to support all the extra crap. Like, I don't want to, if I'm an NFL GM or coach,
clearly
I don't know if
NFL
I
agrees.
I don't know if I want to live with all the crap that comes along with Shadur Sanders, with how good he is. If he was a blue chipper, elite, like, can't miss prospect, then sure, maybe you take it with you and you live with it. And I think the NFL showed that they're not really willing to do that either.
Obviously. And the thing is, and why this is so nice for the Browns now, they have a lot of options. There's very little pressure on them to do anything. If he's not humbled by this, and I think he probably will be.
I hope he is.
Then he's never going to be. And if he ends up being Geno Smith or Baker Mayfield, I like it. I like to compare him to Baker. I've seen it'll be one of the best draft picks of the last decade. And so the Browns, who constantly get it wrong, kind of got gift wrapped this opportunity through all of this. Like, it is the perfect place he could have landed, right? Like, you want to go get fed some humble pie? Go to Cleveland, the place where quarterbacks go to die, right? Go there for a little bit.
When they already drafted a quarterback four rounds ahead of you in Dylan Gabriel. Like, so, I mean, it's not going to be handed to you. Andrew Berry, the GM from the Browns, said as much. Like, he was being vague. He didn't specifically say Shadur, but everybody knew he was talking about Shadur. Like, nothing's going to be handed to you. You come in and you work and you earn it. And, you know, so I think that he's got his work cut out for him. I hope he is humbled, because he does have talent, and I don't want to see that talent wasted. I don't want Shadur to be this generation's Johnny Manziel, right? Where there was all of this hype, and Manziel was super arrogant at the time, came in, thought that he was entitled to all of it, and he was a flame out, like left the league and you know, didn't and never developed into anything. I don't want to see that for Shador. I hope he's humbled, and I hope he comes in and he's able to actually compete and make it work.
We all want great quarterbacks. Like, if you're a fan of the NFL, you just want great quarterback play. Even if it's great quarterback play that you can root against, it makes the league better. This story has become far more fascinating than even, like, even us who were very interested in Shador. We were having conversations when I told you I thought he'd be a top two quarterback taken in this draft before last season ever started, and we discussed that he obviously was not, but he probably should have been. Did he not shoot himself in the foot? Like, it's been even more compelling than we thought then through all of this. It's a great story. It's a great story.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview.
Thursday's Mina visit with our pal Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider. Go powercat.com, at Life of Fitz on social. Fitz, how are you this morning?
I'm wonderful. How are you, my friend?
We're doing good here. The weather's turning. We're getting a little rain. We've got all kinds of things happening on the sports calendar. It's a good time of the year. I want to talk about the Serbian to K-State in just a minute. We were just talking about Shador Sanders. You follow this league as closely as anybody. I want to first, like, pre-draft, where did you have Shador in this draft?
Well, I'm certainly no expert on, you know, how talent converts from college to NFL. I don't go to the combines. I don't see these guys work out. As a player, I fully expected him to be first, maybe second round. I mean, that's everything I'd heard, seen. I think Shador is very good. And I think he had to do things in an unconventional way at Colorado just to survive without a tangible offensive line. Are there holes in his game? Yeah. Does he need improvement areas? Absolutely. But I didn't see him being any different than others that have holes in their game. But boy, did he and his father apparently blow himself up. I mean, it's just they made it almost impossible for a team and, more importantly, a head coach to draft this individual, because it seemed it could be upsetting of your entire locker room, your culture. And meanwhile, the dad might be plotting to take your job if he wants his son to be quarterback. So it just turned into a giant mess. As I did a video on this, Jacob, and it was a scientific look at applying the hot crazy scale to Shador. And he got way more crazy than hot. Nobody wanted to date/draft him. And that's just, it was self-inflicted, entirely 100% self-inflicted.
No question.
I hate to say this, because I actually like Shador. I know he's got some things about him that people around in that circle don't really like, but I just think he's grown up with a sense of entitlement that comes with his last name, comes with the fact that dad always wants to be his coach and start him, and he's never had to prove it. And he's going up against a lot of really good football players now, a lot of good quarterbacks going for the same job, and he chooses not to prove it. And so he did this to himself.
And he's got, I said this to Tommy last night, like, he's got a fork in the road now. Now go take it. Like, now go do the thing that you've never had to do. And I think ability-wise, he can. And he's probably at the perfect organization for nobody to really care about all of those things. It's Cleveland. The most blue-collar town in the country, maybe. Like, get out there and show what you can do. It was interesting. It was very interesting. Colorado's an interesting program. Maybe we'll talk a little football before we're done. But I want to talk hoops, Fitz.
Okay.
This Serbian at K-State, Kostic, went and got, you watch his tape, he seems like a really good fit to me for Jerome Tang, because he looks like he's going to like to have the ball in his hand. They certainly paid a pretty penny. I'm not sure if you've heard any of that or done your own digging or recently. The original reporting was $1 million, according to the Serbian site. Now maybe it's more like $2.5 million. this was basically their Coleman Hawkins get of the offseason. What is the latest with all of this with Kostic?
Well, in asking around about him, because I'm going to shock you here. I don't typically scout Serbian basketball. I know. I'm lazy.
Come on, man.
I know. But I had someone reach out and say, this guy's a lottery pick. This guy is legit.
Yeah.
As a 6'5 guard, I can do it all. And so, in terms of talent, it's a great pickup. I'm guessing that as I see more and more coaches go to Europe or other places, particularly Eastern Europe, Serbia and Croatia and those places, they found something they like in this era of NIL and, the transfer portal. They find guys that have grown up with club basketball, are really coachable, have great fundamental sets. They carry with them stuff that, honestly, a lot of American players don't because they're not getting this fundamental coaching. And I think they're really happy with what they got. But this is just a piece. They got a lot of roster spots still to fill, and I think we'll see some more overseas players, at least one, and then get back into the portal and polish off that roster. But this is a nice pickup.
I don't know anything about him, obviously, just like nobody else does, but I watched the tape, and his game looks like some of these Eastern European stars we're seeing in the NFL, in the NBA, right? Like they're very comfortable with the ball in their hand. They can attack in a variety of ways. They're professionals because they've been that. And so the thing that keeps standing out to me is like, man, that's what Jerome Tang needs. Like he, whatever it is, like it doesn't, at least to most of our amateur eyes, look like there's like complicated design to K-State's offenses over the year. It's kind of been put the ball in somebody's hand and do all the other things really well. By the way, that worked for Houston this year, right? They just let Cryer and Sharp go out and be the only offensive dudes really that touch the ball, and it worked fine. So I think it can work. I think it feels like, as much as he's an exciting player, it feels like a good fit.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, even though he's a young guy, he brings a lot of experience playing in Euro basketball clubs for his whole life. It's a completely different basketball culture over there. They literally, from what I'm understanding, had to buy his contract out. And this is where college basketball is now competitive. They can get these European kids that are playing professionally, technically, in minor league basketball as they develop their skills. Which the European system is almost like minor league baseball. You got these clubs that have lower teams, and you come up through the ranks, and you learn to play. Well, I don't know the level for sure, but it's almost like Kansas State just signed a young guy out of Double A, and they're bringing him in to play college basketball because they now can, because they're now paying players. It's insanity. They're essentially, Kansas State basketball is functioning as a professional franchise by buying a contract of a player from overseas. This is where we're at in college sports.
It is. I mean, I don't know. We'll see if that becomes a thing. I don't know how much I like or dislike that. I mean, we have strong opinions on a lot of the things happening. I don't really have one on getting young, like 17, 18-year-old European players to come play college ball. I mean, it opens up the pool of players. It probably hurts high school players a little bit. But I don't have a strong take on it. It also helps programs maybe like Wichita State, who we watch here, potentially go find players. The interesting part is, like, you're buying production there if you're K-State with Kostic. There's a lot of teams paying big bucks for non-production. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to spend your money, like, you know, this guy's been productive. We're seeing that kind of money thrown around for players that averaged like 8 points a year ago.
The market's insane, man. Some of the prices I'm hearing players are going for simply don't make sense. But the demand for these players has exceeded the supply, and that's what happens in a free marketplace. As soon as one program says you're worth $1 million and we're willing to pay it, you know what just happened? The market adjusts to that. This level of guy is now worth $1 million, and it's gone insane. And hopefully the future of revenue sharing will calm this down, but I don't have any trust that it will. I think it'll fly off the rails in a different direction.
It will, but there's got to have, you got to have time. We just need time. We just need time. Just remember, it's better. It's better than it was when players got nothing about the table. I don't know where it lands either. I don't even know what to tell people anymore, because I've been an advocate for players getting paid. I'm like, guys, this is even too crazy for me. But I think you had to have the chaos to get to the, you know, to the calm that will eventually get there. Tim Fitzgerald joining us, publisher, gopowercat.com. Big addition for K-State basketball. I think he's done a nice job with the roster. K-State football gets through the draft. Giddens finds, I think, a pretty good spot for him. And there was it was a nice draft day for K-State. What were your takeaways there?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, exceedingly happy for Jacob Parrish. You know, there's some real comparisons between Parrish and Giddens. They come in as Kansas talent, wasn't highly rated. K-State got them in camp, saw them first person, and said, there's something here. Particularly, I remember this with Jacob Parrish wasn't going to get a K-State offer. Then he came to camp, and Chris Kleiman saw him in person. He said, that's my guy. I know he's small, but he can play. And he was right. Nobody really wanted DJ Giddens between questionable football skills and academics and just a bunch of other stuff. He's not a real verbal guy. He probably didn't interview well with coaches, and K-State turned him into, gave him an opportunity to turn himself into something incredible. And DJ earned, like Jacob, every bit of this, with daily commitment, getting better every day. It's the K-State way. Both of them are epitomized that. And I think we'll do well in the NFL. And Marquis Siegel goes to a good fit in San Francisco. They probably want him as a nickel and on special teams, and I think he can do that. So, it was a good day for K-State football, and it just shows that the talent K-State's getting isn't that far behind anyone else. That, like everyone else in the Big 12, maybe the elite upper-shelf physical freaks that can also play aren't coming here, and that's why they're getting drafted in the first round out of the SEC or Big 10. I can go with that, but there is talent spread across all of college football. And I keep coming back to this, Jacob. Texas had 12 players drafted. Arizona State had one, and that was Cam Scataboo. And that one was all they needed to stay in a game as a team, competitive, and probably should have beaten Texas. So talent is the only measurement of quality.
That's a really good point. And K-State's had a lot of success in the draft over the years. I think, you may be speaking to KU fans a little bit there. They're starting to get guys drafted again, but it hadn't always been there. But it's not the ultimate indicator, especially in the Big 12. It might be in some leagues. It's not in the Big 12, though. Never has been. We'll see. I think that's good. I mean, look, K-State's got a chance to win this league next year in football, right? Even with those losses, they got a chance to win this league with Avery Johnson, a quarterback.
Yep. They do. They really do. It's going to be an interesting year. Obviously, Texas Tech has decided to play the game and, have a donor that's willing to give you about $40 million in NIL, and you go out and get some dudes. We'll see if that works. If it does, it's going to be scary for the two big conferences that a team in Lubbock, Texas can go be competitive by playing their game and buying players. This is going to be a really interesting season for the program at Kansas State and for the conference. And we just did a show on this on the Big 12 Insiders channel on YouTube that, hey, look, they got to win, and they got to win now. They can't mess around, because the new contract isn't that far away. The negotiations start. They're going to have to start proving as a conference, the Big 12, that viewership isn't as big a gap between the Big 10 and SC as people might perceive.
Fitz, always appreciate it. Go to GoPowerCat.com. Find all the latest. Thanks for being with us again this week. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, that'll do it for us on a Thursday. Thanks to Tim Fitzgerald for stopping in, bringing a little light on that Kostic situation. I'm excited about the player. Rick asks Fitz if he's a professional. Are they buying a professional? Is he going to go to class? I'm not sure, Rick. I assume he will, like most of these players do. I don't know if any players go to class. I mean, I have no idea. But I can tell you that it's probably not top of mind for everybody. Everyone wants to know if he can play basketball. That's where we are in college sports now. Love it or hate it, it's where we are, and K-State goes and gets a pretty high-profile player in it. For Tommy and Max, I'm Jacob. We'll see you then.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.